In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to tell you a little bit of history and then read you something that we just heard in the service and then explain why this Sunday of Orthodoxy is so important theologically. Now, the little bit of history is basically all the history you really need to know. If you're a history buff, you can find out all the details. But here's basically what we're celebrating today. Because of the influence of Islam to a great extent on the fringes of the empire, weak-willed Christians started to believe that icons somehow were idols. And there were people with political influence that took that position. And eventually there was great persecution and destruction of icons. Even people were killed over it. And icons were removed from most of the empire and were considered to be idols and unlawful, and that's not the way Christians worship. But that is the way Christians worship. It always has been. And eventually they were restored. And we're celebrating that restoration today and tomorrow. And that restoration officially occurred in the Seventh Ecumenical Council. But just like any council and just like anything that happens in the history of the church, there was a gradual acceptance of it. There were pockets here and there of iconoclasm, but eventually, completely, the church understands about the worship of icons. Now, still to this day, there are people that consider icons to be idols because they don't understand what they mean, what their significance is, and the significant teaching that they have that is lacking, for the most part, in their expression of their faith. So let me read you what we just sang. Really, it's amazing. The poetry is amazing, but also the depth of the theology. Thou who art uncircumscribed, O Master, in thy divine nature, was pleased in the last times to take flesh and be circumscribed, and in assuming flesh, thou hast taken on thyself all of its distinctive properties. Therefore, we depict the likeness of thine outward form, venerated with an honor that is relative. So we are exalted to the love of thee, and following the holy traditions handed down by the apostles, from thine icon we receive the grace of healing. This is the incarnation that's being talked about here. Thou who art uncircumscribed is referring to Jesus Christ. God, Jesus Christ, or perhaps we could refer to him historically as Jesus first, because Christ is really a reference to his humanity, because it means anointed. God is not anointed, God anoints. And Jesus was always God, always the Son, from the beginning, from before the beginning, when there was no beginning. Before all things was God. And God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he was uncircumscribed. There was nothing except him. Nothing limited him whatsoever. Uncircumscribed. And it says, in thy divine nature, that was uncircumscribed, that was pleased in the last time, that is at the time of the incarnation, to take on flesh and be circumscribed. The God became man. So Jesus became Jesus Christ, God and man. Uncircumscribed God, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things were made, that God became man by the agency of a virgin, by the Holy Spirit causing her pregnancy and Jesus being born in a miraculous way and being God and man. Not God mixed with man, but God and man, two natures in the same person. And so, the significance of this is, in assuming flesh, thou hast taken on thyself all its distinctive properties. So he took on our humanity, and you can read, especially in Hebrews, about how he is like in us in all temptations, all things save sin. Jesus Christ is fully man, just as we are fully man. The difference between him and us was that he lived perfectly. And he made it possible for us to live perfectly, or not to live perfectly, because none of us live perfectly, to become perfect. That's the significance of him taking on our attributes. And one of the saints, I don't remember now, it might have been Basil, said, what is not assumed is not changed. So he took on everything. There's nothing in us that is not in him except sin. And he lived the perfect life. And because he lived as a human being, we can depict him as a human being in the icons. It's basically about what he looked like. And if you notice in the icons, he looks a lot like St. John, because they were cousins. It makes sense that they would look similar. So we can depict Jesus Christ in the icon because he is God and man, and of course we can see him as man. Now, what is the significance of all of this? The significance is an idea, and the idea is what salvation is. Since Jesus Christ took on all of our attributes, all of our distinctive properties, he was able to change them. He was able to live as a human being perfectly without sin and to make it possible for mankind to live perfectly, or as I corrected myself before, to become perfect. That's the great significance. And since he became like us, we can become like him. This is that idea that Orthodoxy fully understands, that the ascetics especially fully understand, that that's in our services and in our prayers, but many unfortunately do not understand because they look at life in a more shallow way and don't understand. Salvation is not just forgiveness. Salvation is not just going to heaven. Salvation is, shall we say, becoming heaven, to become like the Lord and to be have union with him. And this union is what salvation is. Now, it's not really well understood. I certainly didn't understand it when I was preaching about Jesus on the beaches in college. I didn't understand that. I thought it was just that God forgives our sins. It is not just that. It is that he took on our attributes and therefore we can take on his attributes. Of course, we can't become God, but we can become like him in such a way that we can have full union with him. Such a way that, as Job says, he felt the Spirit of God in his nostrils, in his breath. So close to you, closer than your breath even. That is the idea that we are celebrating. That is the true triumph of Orthodoxy. As far as political vicissitudes, things go up, things go down. Maybe icons will be destroyed again. Maybe we'll be put under the yoke of Islam again. The Russian church was under a totalitarian government for a long time and was not free. Whatever happens historically, that is not what we are celebrating. Certainly the icons were restored and the church was grand again, and some people are very happy about that. And that thinks that that's what this we're celebrating. We're celebrating this idea of what salvation is. And you should live according to this idea. And this is the period of time when we should be most concerned with this idea, because this is the time of light. This is the time of preparing for the light of Pascha. And Jesus Christ was resurrected so that we could be resurrected. Not just so that we could come alive again. Do you want to come alive again in the same person that you are now? I don't. I'm going to come alive a better person. I'm going to come alive a perfect person. I don't want to have any of those thoughts in my head rattle around. Or they're actually in my heart. You know, thoughts that are just ugly. Thoughts that are sad. Thoughts that are despondent. All that stuff. I want to be rid of it all. And we are promised that we will be. That is the idea that is the triumph of Orthodoxy. But it's not just an idea, it is a reality. And that's why we have this panoply of saints around us. That's why we are so close to the saints. And so many things happen in the lives of the saints that we celebrate every day and that are important, even to people that don't know very much about their faith. They know things like about St. George and about how St. Nicholas helps travelers, how you can pray to St. Xenia if you don't have a job. And those sorts of things. St. Nectarius helps with cancer. All those sorts of things are part of our life because the saints have become like Christ. And they're not dead. Their bodies are dead. In some cases, their bodies look pretty much alive. But for the most part, their bodies are dead and they have decayed. But their souls are alive, and they're with God, and we can talk to them. So we're celebrating that salvation is the complete reformation of our soul. That's what the triumph of Orthodoxy is. And this hymn that I hope you heard as you were listening, I hope it struck you like a thunderbolt, because it always strikes me. I'll make one more comment to you. I'm all for everybody buying the Lenten Triodion, everybody buying the Festal Manaeon, that's the 12 feast days of the Mother of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Oktoikos that we use on Sundays, and all the books, and reading them very carefully, so that when you come to church, sometimes things just bowl you over. And sometimes when I'm reading them at home, it's so beautiful, I can't contain it. It's so beautiful. But other times in church, we hear this hymn and maybe it doesn't touch us. I'll give you a little confession. I was going to talk on this hymn, and I had decided what I was going to talk about, and I was quite excited about telling you this good news. And guess what? During the service, I don't remember hearing it. It was just a couple minutes ago. Of course, I've read it 4 or 5 or 10 times, but I didn't hear it during the service. And that was my own mistake, my own lack of attention. That's why I recommend to you, buy these books and read them. They're a lot better than the Reader's Digest. So, may God bless you and help you. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.